Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And for the first couple martinis today, we'll be taking a look at some positive developments and some perhaps not so positive developments heading into the 2018 midterm elections, which, of course, are still roughly 10 months away. So, Jim, our good martini today comes to us courtesy of a new poll from Missouri, where Claire McCaskill is running for re-election. She should have been defeated 6 years ago, but then the Todd Akin abortion comments kind of derailed our effort to take that seat. She's still not popular there. President Trump won that state by roughly 20 points in 2016. And right now, Claire McCaskill is trailing in a hypothetical matchup with the Republican frontrunner, and that is the current attorney general in that state. The margin is 49 to 45 in favor of Josh Hawley, and she is at 45%. So obviously, it's still very close, but she obviously has wide name recognition in the state at this point. If people really liked her, it would be much better than that. The state clearly trends Republican. Even in a Democratic year, we might be able to pick this up. So the fact that even though Hawley still has to get through the primary, the fact that he's already ahead of Claire McCaskill is a good sign.
You know, Greg, anytime you're an incumbent in your second term and you're trailing a challenger, that's a bad sign. Claire McCaskill really kind of lucked out last time around taking on Todd Akin. Yes, it's not a huge margin for Hawley, but look, this tells us this is going to be a competitive race. And one more thing that kind of jumps out about this is that there's a new independent candidate, the perhaps perfectly named Craig O'Dear, a Kansas City attorney, who's involved with a national centrist project. Now, an interesting question will be, if you throw in a third-party independent candidate, does that take away more votes from the Democratic incumbent or from the Republican challenger? Still, it's going to take some time to shake out. It's entirely possible that O'Dear will not amount to a major factor in this race. It's kind of one more X factor in what is already likely to be a tight, dramatic, and high-stakes race, probably the best chance Republicans have for knocking off an incumbent, depending on how you feel about West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. But look, if you're a Republican, you look at this and say, okay, in a year where a lot of things have not are not looking great for us, we have a decent chance at a pickup in here and in a couple other states Trump won. And maybe as much as the midterms are challenging, Senate Republicans can actually have a good year ahead.
Quick follow-up on this. I know this is one of the states where Steve Bannon was hoping to create some mischief, and obviously Steve Bannon's cachet has hit the skids here in the last couple of weeks, but he's got a candidate there. Austin Peterson, who ran for president as a Libertarian, is running for Senate as a Republican in Missouri. So is this a place where the primary could get interesting, or do you think that the fact that there's multiple outsider type candidates running is actually probably good news for Hawley?
If I'm a Republican, I want this to be as simple, you know, up or down referendum on McCaskill as possible. But we will see how it shakes out. You know, it's one of those things where we've seen Libertarians cost Republicans winnable races in the past. The interesting thing will be whether O'Dear kind of acts as that factor as well for McCaskill. It's very early in the cycle, so we will see how this shakes out. But always good to go into a tough midterm election cycle, just assuming that if it can go wrong for your party, it will.
Well, yes. And Ken Cuccinelli could tell you about what a Libertarian candidate can do for your statewide political ambitions. Also, I think it's really important that the Republicans pick up Missouri and maybe Indiana and maybe North Dakota, because with now just a one-seat majority, two if obviously you count Mike Pence as the tie-breaking vote, things are not looking particularly good in Nevada or Arizona. So winning some of these red states is not only a bonus in 2018, it may end up being vital. So let's move on to other aspects of the 2018 midterms, and that is the mounting pile of Republican retirements. Some have been very well publicized, like Orrin Hatch, Jeff Flake, Bob Corker in the Senate, but there's a lot of Republicans retiring in the House as well. Well-known people, if you follow, you know, the major committees in Congress, and unfortunately, several of them are in districts that might not be all that easy to hang on to without them on the ballot. Just some of the ones we're looking at here. Daryl Issa today announced he's not running for re-election. Recently, Ed Royce, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, said he's not running again. I think most folks know about Joe Barton. He's a former committee chair. He's not running. Lamar Smith, former chairman of the Judiciary Committee in Texas, he's not running. Jeb Hensarling, Financial Services Committee, he's not running again. Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania, Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, he's not running again. And then there's some folks who have not been chairman but are in tough seats for Republicans to hang on to. Charlie Dent, Pennsylvania, Dave Reichert in Washington, Frank Lobiondo in New Jersey. And I'm probably not hitting the whole list here, Jim. So it's going to be an uphill year for the party that has the White House in a midterm anyway. Plus, the president's approval ratings aren't great. So then when you have well-established people that the constituents genuinely like not on the ballot, it makes life even tougher.
Yes, it's been a year of churn for House Republicans, Greg. I'm looking at the list in front of me. They're up to 37 if you count folks like Mike Pompeo going to head up the Central Intelligence Agency, Tom Price leaving to join the administration, and then depart surprisingly quickly on a very nice plane, apparently. but yeah, so when you have this many retirements, it's a really bad sign. It's safe to say when guys are giving up committee chairmanships and saying they don't intend to come back, that's basically a not so subtle suggestion that they do not expect to remain committee chairman for too much longer. And the fear for Republicans is that this sort of thing can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. For those first couple special House elections we saw in 2017, Pompeo's seat, Price's seat, Zinke's seat in Montana, you had a bunch of seats that were basically very heavily Republican and may have given Republicans a bit of a false sense of security about this. Daryl Issa's seat is not an easy seat to win. Royce is in California in Orange County, not a slam dunk. Most of these are relatively Republican leaning, but you know, in a bad wave year, you just don't know if you can take this sort of thing for granted. So if you're a Republican, you got to better have really good recruitment this year. Obviously, and when people have a feeling it's going to be a bad year, your good talent stays on the sidelines. People don't want to risk their reputations and personal fortunes and spend their whole lives or spend a year of their life or a year and a half of their life, you know, completely pushing and working really hard towards a particular target just to get wiped out in a blue wave. So you hate to see this becoming a potentially self-fulfilling prophecy, but if the National Republican Congressional Committee, which is in charge of keeping that House majority, has a pretty significant task ahead of itself in 2018.
To be sure. There is a silver lining, though. Blake Farenthold also is retiring.
Not soon enough.
That pajama photo has just scarred so many people for life. Jim, let's move on to our crazy martini now. And this is from the New York Times. And it's not only the crazy martini, it's a crazy martini that personally affects Jim Garrity. So I can't wait to get your insights on this. New York Times, go to the gym and you will see them everywhere. The talking heads on CNN and Fox News, as ubiquitous as sports coverage in bars. But one fitness chain has cut them off, implying that cable news coverage is not conducive to a healthy way of life. Lifetime, a Minnesota-based company with 130 locations in 27 states, decided recently to remove cable news, both left and right-leaning stations, including CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, from the large-screen TVs in its gyms. The new policy took effect this month. The decision, quote, was based on many member requests received over time across the country and in keeping with our overall healthy way of life philosophy and commitment to provide family-oriented environments free of polarizing or politically charged content, Natalie Bouchard, a Lifetime spokeswoman, said in an email. She added that that local news stations would still be shown. And reaction from gym members have run the gamut. One woman in Massachusetts said that, we're all about trying to emphasize health, healthy mind, as well as healthy body. The news can be upsetting and stressful. And when you want to work on changing your mentality, having that on 12 different televisions while you're trying to run on the treadmill is not the most conducive. There's another guy here, Brian Siv, who says he's been a member for more than 10 years, and he needs to know what's going on in the world. So it helps him multitask while he's trying to do the right thing by getting in shape at the gym. So, Jim, you also are a member of Lifetime. What's your reaction to this new policy?
A bit of befuddled disbelief that anybody would find this that much of a threat or a menace or a psychological stress trigger that they would demand that they take this be taken off. Now, it's worth noting, as far as I can tell, based on my visits to the gym, and yes, I'll get a pause there so everyone can say, really? You visit the gym? You look better? That as far as I can tell, this is the screens on top of the big exercise room. A lot of the machines, the elliptical, treadmill, stuff like that, they have small individual screens. And, you know, by and large, I have nothing but nice things to say about this this gym and the chain. They have little, you know, little videos. And as far as I can tell, you can still watch the news channels on that one. It's only on those larger overhead monitors that are, you know, all the machines are facing. Also, as of yesterday when I was working out, and yes, I can give another pause for, really? You worked out yesterday? I can point out that I believe CNBC was still on there. So apparently business news doesn't stress people. Maybe it's an indicator of just how good the economic news is lately. But apparently that's not going to cause anybody to fly off their treadmill or their elliptical or something like that. Go, blah, Trump's on the screen. I can't handle it, or something like that. Remember, we're all about, you know, building strength, but apparently not the strength to see something on television that you don't like. Now, one or two other odd little wrinkles here. Look, you know, if you really bothers you, fine. I can still watch it on mine. By the time I'm exercising, I really have spent enough time dealing with politics. That's the last thing I want to read about. So it's not going to bother me that much. And as they point out, you can always bring your phone or your tablet or something like that and watch whatever you like on your own personal device. I will note, however, that they have a music video channel. Usually there's like two or three sports channels, local news, as I mentioned, CNBC. But there's also a music video channel. And while I wouldn't say anything on it is unbelievably inappropriate, Greg, I think most people who've tuned in and seen a music video lately kind of know that you're going to get a lot of scantily clad dancing people and things like that. Now, also, it's worth noting that our gym has a wonderful children's center, and it runs a summer camp and, of course, a winter camp during winter break and things like that. Thankfully, the music video monitors are on the wall facing away from the child care center. But like, if Lifetime wants to complain about something, look, this, you know, Trump's face and you know, Nancy Pelosi's face and Schumer's face, that is not the single most objectionable thing I've ever seen on a monitor at the workout center. I'm sorry, folks. There are much worse things to see than somebody you don't like in politics seeing something you like. So remember, it's all about physical strength and not having the psychological strength to see something you don't like.
Jim, I have so many questions about this. First of all, the gym is called Lifetime, so I guess we should be happy that it's not wall-to-wall movies about women who met some sort of stalker online and is ruining their entire family.
People may not like being next to me as I sweat and stuff like that, but I don't think anyone's actually been stalked. Yes, it was, you know. By the way, when people say, are you ready to commit, you have this kind of nagging feeling that they mean, you know, really commit, like forever. But yeah, so there you go.
The other questions I have are, do you have to wait for equipment now because of all the New Year's resolutions people, or have they petered out? And finally, which person do you find the most odd at the gym? Is it the person who occupies a piece of equipment and then waits forever to actually use it, or doesn't get off of it for a long time afterwards, or the people that just stand around and stare?
I've had my stretches where I've, you know, how much did I lift last time? Let me look that up in my little book I keep with me. Oh, God, my arms are sore. Okay, I'm going to stretch a bit more before I start lifting. So I'm probably that person you're complaining about, Greg. Sorry about that. The second thing is the most annoying people by far are the grunters. I mean, you've really at half the time you're wondering whether you should be calling an ambulance for these people. They either have set a new personal best or had a hernia or both at the same time. And then finally, the one thing that I must, you know, give credit to Lifetime Fitness for, that made it, you know, the reason my wife and I signed up for it, they have about a bazillion machines. So even at the peak of January 1st, I'm going to exercise and be good this year. I've never had to wait for a machine there. So to their credit, it's a huge facility, lots of machines and all that kind of stuff. And again, most of them have those little personal TVs. So if you really don't like what's on the screen up above you, you can look down at the screen in front of you. So I don't know. There's a little bit of a delicate snowflake mentality here, which you'd think would be kind of the opposite of what a gym would want to instill in people, that of strength and resilience and determination and all that stuff. But change the channel. I can't handle it. So there you go. Bring me the strongest snowflakes you've ever seen, Greg.
Outstanding. Well, congratulations to you for your commitment to good health. And hopefully this won't drive too many people away who enjoyed watching cable news at the gym. But we'll find out. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.